Amen. 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 All right, that's a good one. That's a good one. I think they sang that for the ladies yesterday. And speaking of that, we had a nice crowd from all over. A lot of other churches were with us as well. And we had a nice group here. And a lot of folks put a lot of time and energy into that. A lot of guys as well as the girls. Guys had got the breakfast together and the lunch together and all those kind of things. And a lot of hours went into that, and appreciate that. If you worked it with the women, we call it the WOW conference, Women of the Word. If you worked with that yesterday or prepared for it during this last couple of months here, would you stand up real quick for me? Come on. I know there's more than that. There's a whole bunch of them here. All right. Well, very good. I guess they're serving elsewhere here this morning, because I know there's more than that, but they were all around, all over the place here, so they really appreciate it, and it was a real blessing to the folks, and I know we have already kind of set a tentative date for same time next year, and so it was a real success. I do want to encourage you to get your picture taken for our 20th anniversary commemorable directory, and if you're a regular attender, if you're here, you're a regular attender, we'd love to have your picture in the direction. Well, I'm not a member. That's all right. You're a regular attender. We want you in here. You're part of the family. And but you do need to make an appointment. And so you can do that online. You can get on our website, lighthousebapt.org. You can do that there. Or if you would like to do it here at the welcome desk, the ladies at the welcome desk can help you to do that. And you have to have an appointment. Now, if you do that, you also get an 8x10 for free, and you get a free directory. Now, if we get 200 households, and I think we can do it. If we get 200 households, our directory will be hardback. If it's going to be well stitched, it'll be a nice stitched volume otherwise. But we get a hardback version if we get 200. I know we can do it. So we want you to be here and do that. Now, it's coming up in June 8, 9, 10. So we really want you to be part of that and put you in. Listen, you know as well as I do, somebody sitting across there, you smile at them, you shake their hand every week. You have no idea what their name is. You say, well, I don't like getting my picture taken. Well, it is what it is. And everybody wants to know your name, and so get your picture taken. You know, God doesn't make junk. He made you what you are. That's okay. And So we really, 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 really want you to get your picture taken, okay? And you need to do it during those 3 days if possible. Now, if you can't come during those times, we can add one in later. It costs a little bit, but we can add one in later. But, of course, it won't have the same background, all those kind of things. And the picture taken right here, and it shouldn't take too awful long, and about 20 minutes, a half an hour for you to do it, to do that, and then choose the picture you want in the directory and to take home with you. So I would encourage you to do that. All right, we're in 2 Peter. Did I say that? 2 Peter chapter 1. Your Bible probably falls open to that right about now. I know I'm taking my time here, but I'm doing that on purpose. In fact, you say, well, I could almost preach that message myself. Good. Sometimes we should be able to preach that message to ourselves. Because times are going to come, and we need the Word of God to come back to our remembrance. If you don't know it, you can't live by it. And so I really want to encourage you to really let this sink in. And so we're going to read that passage again, the first 9 verses of 2 Peter chapter 1, and then we're going to have our message here. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 1 says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And I haven't said this recently, but the word obtained is different than attained. A-T-T-A-I-N. Attained means you did it yourself. You went out and you got it. Well, we don't go out and get salvation. We obtain it. It's a gift of God, not a work that any man should boast. He says, so Peter's saying, I'm just a sinner saved by grace like the rest of you. And I got saved through the righteousness of God. Not my righteousness, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. Then he says, verse 2, the next step is, and notice this is, by the way, an English teacher would have an awful time with this because it's just run-on sentence, a colon and a comma, and just keeps on going till we go way down to the bottom of verse number 7. And it's all one verse, I think, or maybe four. Is there? I got markings in there. Maybe four is a. Yeah, I think four is the end of a sentence there. But so it goes all the way down to verse four. Verse two, it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you." How? Through the what? Knowledge of God. Now, if you want the grace and the peace, you're going to have to get that through the knowledge of God. You say, "Well, I'm going to get grace and peace through getting a good education." Good education is good, but you need the knowledge of God. I'm going to have grace and peace because I'm going to pick the right person to be my spouse. That's important. That's good. But the fact is, grace and peace come through the knowledge of God. Verse three: "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him." All those things are available. We have access to them, but we don't have them until we get a knowledge of God. A knowledge of God to get to know. Now, by the way, this word knowledge there is the idea. It's not just knowing the information. It means knowing someone personally, knowing them inside out. What makes God tick? You know, what gives them a tick. But what makes him tick? What does he want? Okay, what is his personality? Know who he is, and he says, "According to a divine power given unto us, all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue." So you, listen, He's got a plan for us for glory and virtue, not for problems, and so you can trust Him. "Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust." Okay, now, how are we going to do this? Now, going along with what I'm saying here, here's how we're going to do. Right beside this is what we're going to do. "Giving all diligence, add to your faith." You got a faith. That's faith in Christ Jesus as your Savior. That's good. But don't stop there. We've got to add to our faith virtue, and the virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and patience, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, not just a little bit here, but this is really part of who you are, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And we'll get to more of that with some of that we've already covered. Let's have a word of prayer. And today I'm going to talk on this topic, abounding in knowledge. Abounding in knowledge. Just pray. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings. I thank you for the word. Lord, help me be a blessing to these dear folks. Lord, may we, when we realize the necessity of knowing you, not knowing of you, not just knowing about you, but knowing you. And so, Lord, help us to really delve into your word and learn to know you so we can have those precious promises. We thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, be one here who doesn't know Christ as their Savior here this morning. Pray that today be the day of their salvation. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. During this series of messages, it's been impressed upon my heart here, even in a greater way, how important the principles of this passage really are. There are multitudes of lives that have never reached their full potential because they do not follow the guidelines in this passage. Many have lived lives of, I hate to use the word, but failure. Many have lived lives in depression and anxiety because they have not had the life that the Lord wanted them to have. And he was willing to give them. The reason the life that the Lord wanted for them never materialized is because they simply did not do as this passage says, and that is to diligently add to their faith. They received the gift of salvation, and then they went on with their lives. They got the fire insurance, if you will, so they will not burn in hell, but then went on with their lives playing with the fire. Proverbs 6:27 says, "Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned?" Listen, there's a lot of folks who are saved, they're going to heaven, but they're still out in the world playing with the fire of the world. And they think, "Well, I'm saved, it's not going to be okay, it'll be all right, I won't have any problems because I'm saved." No, You may be saved, but you're stupid. You pray with play with fire, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get burned eventually. This passage is foundational and fundamental to living a victorious Christian life as a Christian. The truths in this passage are essential, hear me, are essential so that one does not stumble and falter through life, but make steady progress, it's important, steady progress in a positive direction. You're not going to learn everything the first day. You're not going to learn it all the first year. You're not going to learn it all the first decade. In fact, you cannot learn everything, but I tell you what, we can be doing a whole lot better than we are. Joshua 1:8 says this. I've quoted verse 8, but I'm going to show you verse 9 too. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." The thing is, you got to know somebody to be able to trust somebody. I mean, you know about them and so forth, but I mean to really trust them with all your heart. With the heart, man believes under righteousness. I know that's part of salvation, but the fact is, you're going to do right if you really understand and believe and trust the Lord's word. Alan Bonsall was here in early service. I was talking when he takes care of my cars, and I don't even think about. I take things down to him. Have you ever been someplace and you drop your car off? You think, I wonder what's going to happen? Well, I'm going to leave it there, you know. They're going to find all this, and is that really true that all that's wrong with it, or do I really need to do this, or whatever? And I remember, this is when I first moved up here, I drove a Jeep Grand Cherokee, and it was a nice vehicle, but I wasn't up here very long, and all of a sudden, it started having trouble. In fact, the first time it happened, I was on my way to Harrisburg Airport to catch an airplane, and I had never been up there before. I wasn't quite sure how to get there, and not only that, I was running just a little bit late, and I got in that thing. It was real foggy that day, and I got out here. I came up through Oakland Road, and there's a stop sign in that road there, and I stopped there, and the car just went bloop, 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 stopped. So I'm starting to, you know what I'm saying? It just wouldn't fire. And I know you're not supposed to with fuel injection, but I'm pumping the gas. And so I got it going. I got down and I had to baby that thing all the way to Harrisburg Airport. I wasn't sure it was even going to start when I got back, you know. But it turned out it was just when it's. Was moist and heavy air and so forth, and so I didn't know what to do. So there at that time there was a 5-star Jeep dealer over on the east side of town here, and so I took it over to the 5-star Jeep dealer. I said, "Well, they can figure out what's going on," and they took it and said, "There was nothing wrong with it. We can't find out what's wrong with it. We don't see anything wrong with it." It was still doing it when it got foggy and moist out there. So I just moved up from Maryland, and I knew that Maryland there was a 5-star Chrysler dealer who owned Jeep, and I said, "Well, I'll take it there. They should know what's going on." So I took it down there. They couldn't do a thing. These are the people who make the thing. They couldn't figure out what was wrong with it. And so, as long as it wasn't foggy out there, it would run just fine. So anyway, it was time for me to get my oil changed, and I just took it down to C.R. Smith, which is where Alan Bonsall, that was his grandfather's business for years, and he runs it now. And I took it down there, and I said, "Tell you what, see if you could figure out what's going on with my car when it stops, when it's all foggy out." And sure enough, he got his guys on there, and this is just a small crew of guys. They figured it right out. Never had that problem again. This is your problem, and they had it all figured out and fixed it. It was done. 5 stars couldn't do it. Now, I have no problem taking it. In fact, that's happened several times. I take it down there, and then they fix it. Now, this is not an advertisement. I'm not getting a kickback. But I don't think about it. I just take it down, I drop it off, then they take care of it. Listen, we should be so sure and so restful. You want a peace of God?
I'm saying, you want a piece of me? No, I'm not talking about that. You want a piece of God in your heart. You got to know who he is. If you really know who he is and how wonderful he is, you're not going to be hesitant just to turn it over. And you're not going to be wondering, I wonder what he's doing. I wonder if he's going to do anything. I wonder. But that comes from knowing him. Some Christians live their entire lives and never develop into the person of faith that they want to be. They stumble through life much like a person walking in the darkness, not even knowing why they're stumbling or getting tripped up in life and falling into one trap of the devil in the world after another. They flounder around from one job to another, from one relationship to another, from one church to another, always looking for something better and never finding it, while the Lord is crying out, "Seek me and you will find what you're looking for." It is not our job to seek for joy. We are to seek the Lord, and joy comes with that relationship. We are not to be seeking peace. We seek the Lord and we will get the peace. We do not seek wealth or even our needs. We seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things are added unto you. In Proverbs 4:18, it says, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not of what they stumble." And then he says this, "My son," here's how we're going to fix this. "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Remember, the command here is to diligently add to your faith. God said that. So if you want the fullness of your life in Christ, you must do more than get saved and have fire insurance against going to hell. We need to diligently add to our faith. And I hope by now you understand that down to the core of your soul. Now, we talked about this some weeks ago. I understand you must first have the faith before you can add to it. You need to know Christ as your Savior. Do you know for sure if you died, you go to heaven? You need to get that settled. You must have the faith. But you must add to your faith, he says. And we're going to add to our faith, meaning to give ourselves to the task of abounding in the knowledge of Jesus. The first thing we said we need to do is, he said, add to your faith virtue, that manly valor to do whatever it takes, whether convenient or comfortable or whatever, to do what it takes to get the victory. And he's telling us to do what it takes, what gets the victory is the knowledge of him. So we're going to give all diligence. That's what we bring to the task. Our eagerness, our earnestness. That's what we're going to give. We're going to give our energy and our time and our effort. It's work. Now, it's a fun work, especially if you know you're getting something out of it. But it doesn't happen by osmosis. We have to make effort, because we realize that's what it takes to get the victory. It needs to be our top priority. Now today, the second thing we add to our faith, he says, let me read it to you. "Beside this, giving all faith, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge." Something we need to add to our faith is the knowledge of God. We read it, "Grace and peace be multiplied on you through the knowledge of God." That's where grace and peace comes from. Knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." But then verse 5 says this. "So beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge." And this word knowledge is a little different than the first word knowledge in the earlier verses. The earlier verses really is about knowing somebody inside and out, to really know that you can trust them, and so forth and so on. But the fact is, if you're going to know that you're going to trust them, there's some things you need to just know. You need to know their background, right? You need to know who they are. You need to know what they stand for. We need to know what they are. I mean, listen, if I know who God is, listen, He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He never changes. He's eternal. He loves you with an everlasting love. See, we say, well, I know that's who He is. But have you experienced that? Do you know Him? We got to take His word on it. We got to know who He is. Now, that word knowledge there in verse 5 literally means the state of knowing. That means, in fact, it has the idea of science. Now, I know that you don't always believe what science says these days, but by the way, science is not the liar. Is the ones who are twisting the information they have in science to make it say what they want to say. But scientists may be a liar, but science is to discover what's actually there. Discover what God has already done. So really, this word knowledge means to know the truth, to know the facts, to have studied and discovered, to know the information. I said it before, to know what makes God tick. What He likes, what He dislikes, what pleases Him, what this displeases Him. What does God see as righteous? And what does God see as unrighteous? What in God's eyes, what is primary and most important? And what is in His eyes is secondary in life? To know Him, to find out what He is. That's the knowledge. Now the Lord wants us to know truth. Now I'm going to let the Bible do a lot of our preaching here this morning. I can give you my word on it, but I don't want you to trust me. I want you to know the truth. I want you to trust Him. I want to hear His word here. 1 Timothy 2:3 says this: "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." Now, that's God's character. He wants us to know the truth. Some of us, listen, you ever hear them say, "You can't handle the truth"? You ever hear that? Yeah. Well, some of us don't want to handle the truth. Some of us do not know who God is because they don't want to take a risk of God saying something we don't like. So we just don't even get all that close to Him because we're afraid that we're going to have to change something. We think ignorance is bliss. The problem is when you say, "Well, I don't want to hear what He says about that," that also means you don't hear about the blessings. You don't hear about all the good things. When you separate from your God from all the things you don't like, you have actually separated yourself from all the things you do want. He says, "I would have everybody come to the knowledge of the truth." Yet there are many who are in 2 Timothy 3:7, as it says this, they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. There's a lot of folks will look at the Bible and say, "Well, I just can't understand it." I'll be honest with you. A lot of people don't understand the Bible because they see something and they say, "Well, He can't be saying that. Well, that just doesn't make sense." Some people want to throw out all the miracles of the Bible. "So that's just allegory." Well, then you got a small God. Your God is not worth worshiping. And so you don't. You might use Him, but you don't worship Him if your God's that small. We've got a God who's greater than all things. And we find out who He is. He says, listen, the Proverbs 1:1 says this. The Proverbs, in fact, you can turn there real quick. Proverbs 1, chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to be several verses here. I want you to look at this. I'll take a drink while you quick look. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. So what's the Proverbs for? Watch. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. So we're going to know it, we're going to perceive it. Then it says, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. There's a lot of folks who say, well, I know what it says, but they have not yet received it. In Acts chapter 2, it says, those that gladly received the word were baptized. That means they actually received the word. They trusted it. They accepted it into their heart. They realized it's true. They accepted it as truth in their life. And so we have to accept the fact, the death, burial, resurrection as truth. But we got to accept the rest of God's word as truth. And we expect it to be a blessing to us, to gain anything from it. He says, it goes on verse 4, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. That word subtlety means discretion, to see through the trickery of the world and the flesh and the devil. And it says, to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. That means to be able to plan things out, to think things through. It means witty inventions. And then there's verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. If you got any sense about it, you're going to want to know more that God has. He's got amazing things for us. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise, the dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instructions. Fools don't want to hear truth. Then they wonder why they don't know truth. Then they wonder why they're making their decisions based on non-truth and it's not working out the way they thought. Many folks do not bother to increase their knowledge of God. They're not as productive as they could be. Let me read this to you. Hebrews 5:12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. There's a lot of folks who don't want to bother to really learn the dark and the deep things of God. So you know what that means? They really don't know Him. There are some people that you're acquainted with, you see them out in public, whoever it is, or it's that relative that you see every year at the reunion, and you know who they are, and you know to avoid them. No, you know who they are, and you know. But be honest with you, we really don't know them. We don't know what really makes them tick. And a lot of people are like that with their relationship with God. They know about Him. They could quite quote all the things that I quote, but they don't really know Him. They do not have enough knowledge to really understand the deeper things of God. And so they get confused. They drop out. And it says here they can't stand the meat of the word. They choke on the deeper things. Well, I'm just not going to go there. It says, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, babies are wonderful things. In fact, our daughter is due to have a baby any moment now. In fact, yesterday was her due date, I think. And that's going to be grandchild number 11. And babies are a wonderful thing. And, you know, in the back of your brain, you kind of think, I just wish they'd stay here like this forever. No, you don't. I mean, babies are a wonderful thing. They even have even when their diapers are clean, they have a smell about them. You ever notice that? There's something about that baby smell and they coo and, you know, they're liars. They look at you and smile and they spit up all over you. But they get you all sucked in real close, and then they let you have it. But they're wonderful things, you know, and we love them, we care for them, and so forth and so on. But the fact is, you want them to grow up and have new babies and bring them home. You know, they want them to grow up and get married and have other babies. And, you know, you want them to have a life. God says, listen, you're a babe in Christ. I'm glad you're born into the family. But God says, I've got a plan for you. I want you to grow up. I want you to be successful. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but I shall meditate therein day and night, that I mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. So I want you to grow up.
I want you to grow up. He says, Lord, he says, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, of even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You say, well, I don't know what good and evil is. Well, Adam and Eve thought they did. That's why they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They want to decide what good and evil is, and that got them in trouble. No, God knows what it is, and we need to just say, well, God knows what, so I want to find out what he knows. Well, how am I going to know? I'm going to have to get it from the Word of God. How am I going to get that? By reason of use. Use the book. That's what it's there for. I know that might be old-fashioned here, but the fact is, a lot of folks who say, well, I don't know. I don't understand that old King James Bible because, you know, it has got all those words in there. Use it. You know why you don't understand? Because you don't use it. Did you ever talk to a financial guy or a doctor or somebody else, and they talk in acronyms? They got all these letters. You know what I'm talking about? You got this, and you don't have any idea what they're talking about. But everybody's supposed to know what this series of letters means because it's an initials for whatever it is you got problem with or whatever. And you say, well, man, they talk and go right over my head. I don't understand anything. That's because we don't know the terminology. Once you know the terminology, there's no problem. Well, how are you going to learn the terminology? Use it. Use it. That's the only problem. Society, by the way, you say, well, I want a Bible that society can understand. That's going to last for about 10 to 15 years. We change our vocabulary all the time. Words don't mean what they used to mean anymore. I mean, and it's going to continue. We might as well just go ahead and settle on one and say this is what it is. Get a dictionary out. Find out what it says. God knew it when he blessed it, when he gave it to him. Listen, he says, we need, by reason of use, that's how we learn to eat up the, listen, you start out with the milk, and then you have that little cereal stuff they give the kids. And then they give you strained peas. No wonder a kid goes, you eat that stuff. No wonder they, you know. And so they feed them. And then eventually, they chop it all up in little pieces. You got this little piece of steak. And then they spit it out when they get. But they start chewing on that thing. They work their way up to it. It's the way it is with the Word of God. So we need to increase our knowledge of God. Now watch this. Let me say this. It is our choice whether we want to develop a knowledge of God in us or not. It's our choice. You're in Proverbs 1 verse 22 says this. Remember, we were already at the first part of the book there. Is it so in verse 22 it says, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? He says, how long are we going to be unknowing of the truths of God's word? The word simple does not necessarily mean challenged mentally. Simple simply means we don't know. That's all it means. We don't know. And in fact, he says, how long were you simple ones to love simplicity? We don't know, and we really don't want to know. I'll be honest with you, I don't know what's going on in our government right now, and I'm not sure I want to know. I think we're scared to know everything that's going on in there. But the Word of God is true and righteous. I want to know what that book says. And so I said, simple ones, why will you love simplicity? Then the scorners delight in their scorning. Oh, this is foolishness. But you know what? They always, the people who do that, they don't know the book. People who say, well, it's full of errors. They don't know the book. And then they say, and fools hate knowledge. They think they already got it figured out. Then it says this, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you.
Now watch this. He says, turn you at my reproof, and behold, or look, I will pour out my spirit into you, and I will make known my words unto you. I don't understand that deep stuff. Accept and receive that which you do understand. He says, you yield and just give yourself to him to know the truth, accept it as the truth of the word of God. And he says, and I'll help you understand the next part. As I said, I want to learn how to do calculus. Okay, we start with number one. 1 + 1 = 2. No. I want to understand calculus. 1 + 1 = 2. 2 + 2 = 4. 2 × 2 = 4. Oh, no. I want to understand calculus. See, people say, I want to understand how to live the life, the Christian life, victoriously. All right. First of all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of our sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, those who have received like precious faith, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and patience godliness. Listen, there's things that we need to do. There's a process. He says here, turn you at my reproof. If you're not willing to let him change you, don't expect him to give you any more information. Watch verse 24. He says, because I've called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and with none of my reproof. He says, you refuse to listen, you refuse to yield to the word, and you refuse to obey the word. Then he says, verse 26, I also will laugh at your calamity, and I will mock when your fear cometh. Now, God's not really saying, ha, 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 got them. No, he's going to let us deal with the consequences because we refuse to hear the truth. And you're going to feel like he's laughing at you. Well, God, watch. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. You're going to feel like he's laughing at you. Well, I want to know. Listen, I'm going to let you sit in that for a little bit. Doesn't God, well, yeah, he wants it. But you know, he's not gonna pull you right out because we won't learn our lesson. You made your bed, now lie in it. That's what he's saying. Listen, there are people who think, well, okay, one night I went out and I got drunk. And, God should forgive me. And he can. You confess our sins. He's faithful and just to give us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But that one night you went out to get drunk, you ran off and ran your car into a tree, and you lost a leg. God's not going to pop a new leg on you. And that's not going to happen. But he should forgive me. Oh, he does. He can. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But listen, there's consequences. Listen, probably all of us have scars in our life, whether it's internal or external, from bad decisions that we made that we could have avoided if we had known the Word of God. He said, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning of the way of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. I got to do two more things here real quick, and I'll have to be done. So number one, we need to add knowledge. Number two, how do I get that knowledge? How do I get that knowledge? Well, the first thing is
Let me just say this. The knowledge of the Word of God is the knowledge of God. Knowledge of the Word of God is the knowledge of God. But if you want to have, if you want the blessing of God, you've got to want to have the knowledge of God. Nobody can force you to learn. We have a school here. And sometimes a kid gets in there, they're having a bad day. You can do whatever you want. There's kids that's not going to learn. They've just shut down. You got a side you want to learn. In Proverbs 2, if you're close by, Proverbs 2, verse 1 says this, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord," and watch, "and find the knowledge of God." Some want to just kind of zap it on you. But he says, if you will receive my words. Again, if you're going to sit, if you're going to go to the Bible and say, "Well, I like this part, but I don't understand it, but I'm going to throw that out," you're not going to get it. The Bible's going to be confusing unless you take the whole thing for truth. There are people who say, "Well, I understand that, but this seems to contradict that, so I guess the Bible's not true." Listen, you got to make some decisions. The Bible is true from cover to cover. My mother's whole Bible is true, from cover to cover, all true. A blessing of love it sent down from above. My mother's whole Bible is true. Old song I found in an old hymn book years ago. If you think it contradicts, then the fact is we need to study it because it doesn't contradict. They're two sides of the same coin. Or it's bringing things in focus. Listen, don't just read one little verse. There are whole denominations that have gone off the deep end because of one verse. They didn't read, didn't put a context of the other verses around it, the other chapters around it, the other books around it. Listen, there's some things you need to put in the context of the entire Bible to understand really what it's saying to us. But it says, so you got to receive the words, and it says, "and hide my commandments with thee." You know what that means? Hoard them up. It's kind of like this. Don't take my Bible. "He delighteth in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." I need my Bible. I don't have a very good memory. But I got it down here in white, black and white, and I can remember about where it is. I can go back and find it again. I don't take my Bible. I'm hoarding it, if you will. And it says, "so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom." That word "incline" means to perk your ears like a dog. We're learning the word of God. I'm all in. I'm all ears. "Criest after knowledge and lift up." I got to know the truth. "Seekest her as silver and searcheth for her as hid treasures." I'd rather know the word of God than have a good job. I'll tell you this though, if I know the word of God and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he will take care of my needs whether I have a good job or not. "Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk up uprightly." Proverbs 8:5. "O ye simple, understand wisdom, ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination in my lips." I'm not even dealing with abominations. "All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them.
They are all plain to him that understandeth, and write to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. How am I going to get it? I've got to want it. But secondly, I've got to study it. Study it. They say that banks teach their tellers what the real currency looks like, because there's always some kind of new counterfeit coming out. So you can't necessarily watch for this or watch for that. So what do you do? Find out what true is. And if it doesn't match up with true, it's not true. You want to find out what a straight stick is? Line it up against a stick that you put it on a level. Find a straight stick, something you know is straight. Compared to that, if it's crooked, then it's not right. Listen, you want to know what's true is? Line it up with the Word of God. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God right down the line, then you better be careful. It's not complete. 2 Timothy 2:14 says this: of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Listen, everybody's got an opinion, just like noses. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to hear opinions. I want to hear truth. So he says, strive not about words of no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. You're hurting everybody. Verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. Work at it. But shun profane, vain babblings, and they will increase to more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker of who Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And then it goes back, verse 23 says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Study. I'm going to say, well, this too. Study systematically. Learn the word of God. Isaiah 28:9 says this: whom shall he teach knowledge? We want to have knowledge? Who's God going to teach knowledge to? Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. He said, first, those who want to grow up. And then he says, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Why do you say it like that? So, well, sometimes we've been through this part before. Do you know it down to your core yet? Are you living by it yet? Line upon line, precept upon precept. Every word, every jot and tittle, every cross of the T and dot of the I is inspired by God. He says, I want you to know this truth. Understand the word. Study it. You want to know it? How we're going to get knowledge? Thirdly, first of all, we're going to study it. We're going to study it systematically. And thirdly, have the word of God constantly in front of you. Deuteronomy 11:18 says this: therefore shall you lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them, when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house, and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. And lastly, I've got to be done. How am I going to get knowledge? That's what this church is to help you do.
Now, there's a lot of churches out there that want to worship God. That's fine, worship God. But he said, teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. In fact, in Ephesians 4:11, it says this, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. That means little by little, line upon line. In other words, grow up, go beyond being babies. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body, to help them grow up, to build up, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. There it is. Unto a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. He says, if you are wise, you're going to take advantage of the teaching of the Word of God as much as you can. That's what we're here for. You can, now, again, you can praise the Lord, but you know what the Lord, I hate to say it, there's an awful lot of places that they go and they praise the Lord. That's what we're going to do. We're going to worship and praise the Lord. Well, fine, that's fine. But the fact is, that's all they do almost. God's people are together. The Father's there to teach the children now from the Word of God what they need to do. Listen, God is not some egotistical man that he needs to be schmoozed by his people. That's the way they worship the heathen gods. Oh, so great and mighty. Schmoozing them. They think we come out, we're going to make that God happy so he'll do things for us. God wants to do things for you. Just do right. The law is there for your good, he says. It's the sin that separates us from our God. His eyes are looking to and fro across all the earth to see whom he can show himself mighty for on their behalf, whose heart is perfect toward him. And your heart being perfect toward him doesn't mean, oh, he pats me on. God says, oh, he praises my name all the time. No, you know what he wants? Your obedience. That's what he wants. Obedience rather than sacrifice. Proverbs 10:13, in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Get the knowledge of God. But you got to want to. You know, you can come to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school, and never gain any much knowledge. Because you've got to want it, and then you've got to receive it. And live according to it. So I have faith. Does a faith change your actions that you obey God? If it doesn't make you obey God, then your faith is in vain. It's worthless. We got to add to our faith virtue. Do what it takes to get the job done, to get victory, whatever it may be, whether it's fun or whether it's not fun. And the first thing we're going to add to that is the knowledge of God. That's the way it works. There isn't any other way. There is not any other way.